Are you finished with your dawdling, James?
I mean, as much as I ever can be.
Because I had a bunch of opportunities, and I just let them go by because you were doing stuff. Them.
Look, don't blame me for your show career.
Oh, honey, you wish you could take credit for my show career, asshole. Green Zapper Posse and buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host, James.
And Jenna, and very special guest.
Oh, God.
Yay,
he
Josh.
Sure is.
Yay. So Salsa is feeling a little under the weather. I hate saying things like that because then people are like, oh my God, he's got COVID. No, he doesn't have COVID.
No.
Just chill the fuck out. He's just under the weather. Not everything is. Anyway, hey everybody, what are you drinking?
Ooh.
I've got grapefruit and chill hard cider. It says, let's flamingle.
Okay. Now I hate that can for two reasons.
Oh, wow. That is why you chose it.
I actually really hate grapefruit.
I don't like grapefruit either. I honestly do not like grapefruit. I'm not allergic to it. I just don't like it. It's one of the few things I don't like that I can eat. So how is your drink, Josh?
It's how you could say fresh pressed apples, nothing artificial, and flamingly.
I was gonna say, is it flamingolicious?
Ooh, that's a better one.
Oh shit! Don't give James too much of a confidence boost. He'll just take over. Why. He'll just start going. What are you drinking, James?
I've got somebody delightful, my primary, Jax, bought me this charming little glass jar full of sake.
It's the
Chica Sake Cup.
Aww.
Wait. So it's a cup of sake that was purchased full of sake.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, otherwise it'd just be a cup.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was like, it was the cup purchased? Was it the sake? Was it both? Or was it all in one beautiful package?
So this is 13.5% alcohol by volume. It's 200 milliliters, and that means that I will be drinking 27 milliliters of straight alcohol.
Yes! Oh, man!
If I've done my math correctly, I'm about to do no math correctly.
So proud of you. Do you know what kind of sake? You just tasted it. How does it taste?
It's delicious and smooth. It's lightly sweet instead of very sweet.
Ooh.
Okay.
And it doesn't have like a the perfect mix of sweetness and lightness. With just like a hint of that fusel taste that you get from vodkas.
Okay.
Does it but it's not
say
super
if it's
oily.
A Negori or a Junmai?
It does not.
Okay.
And with that question right there, you know twice as much about sake as I do.
Yeah. Oh, no, wrong. It was under my thumb. It is a Junmai. I figured it was
I was guessing Junmai.
I didn't want to guess.
Junmais tend to be a little sweeter, not always cloudier, but often, which is one of the visual ways you can tell. But they also tend to have more like fruit and flower overall. Mm.
This one's definitely, I think I'm going to change my mind on the fusel taste. It's not like an oily taste. It's very floral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm interested. I love Junmais. So.
Yeah, plus this cup is well cute.
It does look fucking adorable.
I have enjoyed sake in the past, but I think that I need to enjoy it enough to have any idea what the difference is.
One of the best things a friend did for me. So the best man for my wedding got me and the bridal party together for the bridal shower part one. And he got for us a sake tasting at Motoi. Oh my God. And that sounds like, oh yeah, just you and a couple of your girlfriends. I had seven people on each side of my wedding party. So like little more than that, but yeah. No, it was a delightful time. And I did get to learn an awful lot about sake during that. And if you want to learn about sake, Motoi is the place to go.
That's a solid recommendation.
They have everything, and they do their own distilling, I believe.
No.
So they know so much about the process. They're very proud of their distillation. So.
And I've had sake there, probably even theirs.
Oh, probably. So yeah, recommend that if you're learning to learn more about sake. I, however, am having basically a mimosa. It's bubbly. And it's the orange mango V8. So I can pretend like I'm drinking healthy. There's something about the orange mango V8 on its own. I'm like, that's not.
Maybe that's great. What I'm running into.
But with the bubbly.
Yeah.
I think this one is a Prosecco. I don't remember. I've been drinking this for a bit. So, but no, with the bubbly, it adds a certain level of sweetness and gives that kind of that you get in any kind of V8. It clings to the alcohol and kind of gives it more of a purpose flavor wise, if that makes sense.
It does.
Do you know what Yeah. Cause like alcohol has a very distinct taste, and like it does better when it clings to something that's similar, but brighter. I would say. And that's exactly what happens with this orange mango.
That seems to always be the problem with V8. And that's where, you know, whether it's just drinking straight, you know, veggie juice. And
because you're near me.
I specifically was with a Bloody Mary connoisseur who had been across the country trying Bloody Marys everywhere because they know what a good Bloody Mary is. And they said, this restaurant is the best Bloody Mary. Even people who don't like Bloody Marys are going to love this.
Oh, no. Well, nope. There's your first mistake.
Well, I had three sips because I needed to make sure. And yeah, Bloody Marys aren't for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that was the thing. Like, we were almost positive that Jessa was going to like Bloody Marys because she loves vegetables and she loves a lot of the kind of flavor palette that you would get in a Bloody Mary. She wasn't a fan. She was like, this is just not my jam. Now, it's not like we experimented with various types of Bloody Marys and or Margarets.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a fine Bloody Mary. I finished it because she did not. But yeah, she was just like, no. I was like, really?
Yeah.
There's so many things I thought she would like in the booze area and like. But apparently you get her the right whiskey or the right brandy, and she's kind of okay with it. It's got to be the right one, though. She's very particular. I have not gone into the world of scotches with her yet.
I've got
I don't like I feel like that's a thing where I have to just maybe for her 22nd get her a scotch tasting night at Merlin's. And like she can taste a few different things. I might get her one thing out of like a pricier range so that she can see what that's like.
Sure, sure.
Or we just need to get her in front of CD Scotchbringer. One or the other.
Yeah. You see, so I was hanging out with some friends at Fest. Somebody hit me up and goes, hey, do you want to come to a scotch tasting? And so I got invited by Gary to go to a scotch tasting that was run by Laphroaig. Yeah. And
oh my God.
Oh, I need to go change my panties.
I also need to go change Jenna's panties.
I think we need to have a conversation about that first.
Yeah, we're about
to. Anyway, Josh.
Those are absolutely a boatload of scotches I would have never, ever chosen to drink. And I am so glad that I got to. And two, there's one that they had at the end that was their once a year special thing. Oh. And they're like, oh, we do this for like our annual like birthday celebration thing. We happened to get our hands on one bottle, and this is the one bottle we're going to have. And so enjoy it. And it was it was magic.
Was it every bit of effervescence, smoky, everything that you could have hoped for?
And it was the smokiness was beautiful. And then when you did, a drop or two of water, the smokiness was like a smooth ride of smokiness throughout. Mm. It was like, this is what I live for.
Oh, God, that sounds glorious. Mm-hmm. Like, that sounds absolutely glorious. So anyway, hey, everybody, what have you been up to?
So I've been working, I've been planning a wedding, I've been...
Wedding?
The wedding. Nobody needs that.
I too have been planning a wedding. How strange.
Interesting. It's almost like...
Wait. Are the two of you getting married?
We would be a terrible couple. We would never go anywhere. We would just have rampant sex all the time.
One of you marrying the other?
That is correct.
Bing!
Yeah. Ah, that old chestnut. Yeah, with Rue of the booth, he and I are writing the ceremony to which Josh will be subjected. Yep.
We made the strong, valid choice as a couple that and James are going to be the ones to officiate together.
Okay, hold on. Here's the problem for me. Is that I made the decision way early on that I was just going to be the figure dressed in black in the back of the wedding. And I was going to be the stoic Victorian type character.
Just tell everyone.
But James and Rue are going to be running this wedding.
Oh, and you're about to be at the back of it, just watching longingly at man.
Does anybody see her back there? Is it just me?
And it's going to be my job to not laugh.
Oh, no.
Right? That's the thing. If I'm being the stoic figure in the back, I got to go all the way. Can't just half-ass that shit.
Yeah. Our goal is to make Josh laugh until he throws up.
You see, but one of us is much better at that than the other one.
This is true.
It would be revenge.
The number of times that Josh has made James laugh so hard he threw up is greater than the number of times that James has made Josh laugh so hard that he threw up.
That is true. It was a memorable incident.
I believe it is. Josh has a 100% success rate.
That's true. Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's 0-1. Fuck, I gotta up my speed dating game.
Yeah, you do. Okay.
You see, the real big brain play here is he might knock me down a notch by getting me with it. But if I get him back at the same time,
and this is hard because I did a dad joke show with Josh. Jenna, you were there, and Josh stepped up to the microphone and went to tell a joke about a firefighter named Juan.
Also, why was I there? Why was I there?
You know, to balance the audience out. And Josh steps up to the microphone, and bless him, I am so lucky that I was not at the other microphone because I would have been taken down in my prime. He steps up. He cannot tell this joke. He starts and he's already laughing at the punchline. He hasn't even gotten through the setup and he's already laughing inconsolably. And I, off on the sideline, keeping track of the points, am ruined. I am laughing at him laughing at himself.
Him
telling this
just done.
Shamefully. Yes. Oh God, yes. It was magnificent.
Yeah. Yeah. There was another one that was why does Norway put barcodes on all of their ships?
Yeah.
Yeah. So they can scan Scandinavian.
Scandinavian.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was doubled over laughing on that one too. Couldn't get the.
I had repressed that one. The reason why I can continue to be friends with James.
deep trauma of repression.
Deep dad joke punning repression.
Yeah, well, that's fair. That is fair.
Mm-hmm. So planning a wedding.
Yeah.
You know, no big deal. What else have you been up to since we left? This isn't your first. We've had you on before.
Oh, yeah, I suppose. So since I've been on, I've auditioned for Vilification Tennis twice now and didn't make it in either time, but that's okay. You know, I wasn't on my A game. I was more like on my Q game, and yeah, you got to be there sometime.
Right.
Let's see. What else? The world ended. A part of the world ending was me finding out I don't get to meet Bill Murray. That one. Yeah. Now you're cut deep too.
Why are you taking me with you on this sad journey?
This is news to me. Has Bill Murray?
No, he hasn't passed on.
Okay.
No, there was a potential opportunity for a show that Jenna and I were both. Murray was going to just kind of take over for a while.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that was agreed to, it wasn't.
And then things happened.
Yeah.
And the show was unable to go.
So, moving beyond all of that, I decided, what a good idea. I should make some good business choices. And I purchased a fencing booth. And then 3 months later, the whole world shut down.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, yep. And I got to run my first full season at the fencing booth at the Renaissance Festival. And it was one of the most thrilling, awful, terrible, wonderful experiences of my life.
I believe this to be accurate.
Yeah. Because all of the terrible dread of, wow, this thing I love and enjoy just being at and performing at, I'm now in business at. But on the other side is, suddenly, no, that's just the way it is. Holds a little more value.
Yeah. What was a weird experience for me is that there was one day I was at the cash box and some guy was being a little pushy about the mask situation. And I was like, I need an adult. And the person that responded was Josh.
Oh, no.
Hey, do you want to know the most powerful words in the world regarding mask mandates? Oh, sorry. Insurance said so.
Yeah.
And do you know how hard it is to get insurance for a fencing booth? Like,
We love a bunch of drunk assholes in your... I mean, you're fine, but other people, you know.
Between the drunks and the children, and we're just like, here, have a sword. Go have fun. We'll see you later.
Yep. And then there was that time that there was so much blood. So much blood.
Jimmy was never the same after that.
No. Oh, which half? Yep. All right. Good.
So, Jenna, you're ringmastering next year, right?
Apparently. I mean, the owner just told me I am, so...
Getting real close to those balloons.
That's been a part of my attempting to lose some weight and get a little toner is so that I can actually keep up better next year. Because last year, I started the season at my height of just not having moved, not having done a goddamn thing. And it showed. And I don't want to be that person next year at the fencing booth. I would love to be able to step in more and do like ring mastering or other such stuff.
And so this last season was probably one of my most active seasons, which is a lot coming from like my previous season working out there. I was performing, which essentially, as I told everybody, you know, I got nominated for Cracked Cup while I was doing the entertainment. I knew it was probably going to be my one shot in entertainment. And so I wanted to really have a good time with it. And then last minute I got offered to do the Birds of Prey show. And So I was doing the Birds of Prey show. I was doing street entertainment, and my street entertainment pretty much consisted of running around and screaming because, you know, that got the job done. People were entertained. Mm-hmm. And the Birds of Prey show.
With a little bit of jump rope.
Oh, yeah, yeah, there was jump rope, yeah. Yes. And then the Birds of Prey show consisted of, hey, haul all of these, like, 50-pound crates on and off the stage three times a day. Mm-hmm. And I still was more physically debilitated from this last season at the fencing booth than mm-hmm. any of that. And some of that might have been out of shape. Some of that was just, there was so much more go, 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 and kind of a lot more, you know, almost... Mm-hmm. movement as opposed to just passive walking around and interacting.
Right.
And so by the end of the season, I had the owner's daughter at my day job comes up and she goes, "You look good. You look really good. Have you been working out or something?" And I go, "Okay, well, if you consider hours of fasting while also actively sword fighting for, you know, every weekend for basically 2 months, absolutely. I have been
working for Arrow."
Didn't you like beat some record last year for fighting people?
Ooh, and like, you know what? So first off,
you should talk about that, Josh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
So Cole, one night we're sitting there drinking and he goes, mm-hmm. "Yeah, you know, there's a record that Mav set for most number of champion bouts in a shift."
I'm sorry, hold on. Who set that? I want you to say that name very loud.
Cole,
so that everyone can hear it.
Donald.
Nope. Oh. The other Mav. Person.
Oh. Mav Plantenberg. Dave? Should we go for the heart?
Oh, fuck. I don't know that that's a good idea. I just wanted to make sure that any potential listeners name of Mav would hear that.
No, I wouldn't want them to get confused with somebody else. So, yes, very explicitly, he set a record for most number of champion bouts in a shift. And I go, "Oh, cool, what's that number?" And he goes, 50, something like that. It might have been
54.
Like 54, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
54, yeah. I remember. 54.
And I go, "Oh, 54, I remember. Okay, well, 55, that's not too hard." And so, final weekend, I had been talking about it for like half of the season, like, I'm going to do this. And then it was just like one, you know, day of woe, another day of woe. I'm like, "I'll do it final Saturday." Oh, it's downpouring half the day. Cool. It is the final day of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Final countdown.
Have no choice. And then even worse than that was it was during a single shift. And so I'm thinking, okay, well, I'll start it in the morning. That makes sense. Yeah. The first 2 hours of the morning are literally the slowest time of the entire day. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, okay.
That is the hardest I've worked at hawking all fucking season, by the way.
And thank you, because it wouldn't have happened. So I'm going through, and it is just bout after bout after bout after bout. At one point, I managed to sprint out. I went and peed. As I was coming back, somebody's like, "Oh, do you want to sit down and have a smoke?" And I'm like, "Oh, I'd love to." And they go, "Well, here, just take a drag." And I'm like, "Okay, cool." And I took a drag off their cigarette and just ran right back.
Yeah.
And I was just like, "Go, go, 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 go." And then
marathon style.
Finally, we get to like the ending bit. And everybody at Cashbox who's keeping count just stops telling me anything. And they go, "No, just keep going. It's fine. Just keep going. Just keep going. It's fine. Just keep going." And so I'm like, "Oh, I gotta go. And so I'm like pulling people out of line. And I explicitly got told by Meredith, "Well, it doesn't really count. You were letting people cut in line to come and fight you." And Cole goes, No. That is verbatim what Mav did when he beat the record. For clarification, yes, I pulled people out of line to get them into the ring with me faster before the shift ended. And so from what, 9 a.m. when Canon happened until 2 p.m., I fought, I think it was 59?
I think it was 59. 59
sounds right.
59 people. And so I beat the record, and then I walk behind stage, or behind, you know, off where I can go to the bathroom, I can sit for a minute, I drop, and I just go, "Oh, I did it. that's cool. And everyone's like, cool, Josh, you get the rest of the afternoon off. You get the rest of the day off and all of that. And then, you know, I'm sitting for like 20 minutes and then somebody comes up, Josh, we need your help. And I stand up, walk my ass up front. And the maze is completely filled with people. And they're like, don't worry, Josh, you're not going to have to ringmaster the rest of the day. You've done enough. You don't have to champion the rest of the day. It's been enough. Get on in there. Come on, we need your help.
Oh, my God. So that's delightful.
I just end up getting right back in the ring. And then, yep. You know, things are going and going. And then suddenly there's nobody around to champion. Oh, no, what's going to happen? Hey, you're going to come and ringmaster. I'm championing again. So I did not beat the record for most number of champion bouts in a single day. Mm-hmm. But I did beat the record for that. And the most satisfactory part was I was loud and boisterous and proud about the fact that I have a record and records are meant to be broken. You need to come and fight me all day. And the rest of that day after 2 o'clock, I had at least 20, 30 people come up. Josh, did you break that record? Yes. Yes, I did. And they're just like, yeah, high five.
Yes.
Out of all of that, you know, I had at one point, there was this like massive amounts of champion belts. There was this Marine and he was just like beating the heck out of me, like just going at it. And I finally like had to grab a sword and go, this is a weapon of finesse. You're hurting me. And like, that was enough to like whip him into shape. And he goes, oh, yes, sir. And like completely 180'd. It turned into a guy who suddenly knew how a weapon worked instead of being a guy who just wanted to murder me. But that wasn't even the one that I took the worst beating on. The worst beating on was this guy who's considering coming to work at the fencing booth next season. And he was dressed up as Link, one of my favorite characters. And I know, James, you love him as well. And so I was just like, oh, this guy, after my own heart, he was cool to talk with, fun to interact with. He bought 6 bouts. Ooh. So he's like, I'm going to fight you 6 times. And like, for me, six times, I mean, it is what it is. I signed up for this.
Yeah.
With this guy, by the end of that 6th bout, he was going to be in rough shape. Now, by the end of the 6th bout, I was going to be bleeding from my shoulder and my arm because of how much this guy just beat me up. And so that's the hard part about championing is there's a lot of just getting beat up.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So,
To summarize, you are now the current record holder.
I am the current record holder.
And
I have been promised by no less than 2 people that records are meant to be broken. And so Eli has said, oh, well, I'm beating that record. That's what's going to happen. To which then also Mav said, well, I guess I'll just have to beat both records.
Oh, I see.
Oh,
and so I mean, we could call this a formal. This is a challenge because the big piece of calling it a formal. This is a challenge is that I really think that the statement I had to Mav after that was, well, that requires you show up to the booth.
We're going to get emails.
I want to, God damn it. I want to point out 2 things. Number one, it was in fact Mav's record that you beat.
Yeah.
I just want to point out that Mav was beaten, but,
in fact,
right. The other thing is now we have it recorded.
Yeah.
We have documentation of this.
Well, cause it wouldn't be real if we weren't loud and public about it.
Right, well, exactly. So we have documentation that you said Mav said that he has to come back out and beat both records.
Well, there is that. And Mav does not make promises.
And and you're a trustworthy fellow. So obviously this is accurate.
I wouldn't lie. You see, it's kind of in the grain of my personality.
The grain alcohol,
Just to outdo Mav.
Well,
yes. Yeah. No, I fully support this.
Well, I know that a lot of people are stepping up to beat this record, and I, for one, will ringmaster some of those bouts.
Yeah, I'm not stepping up to this.
Please, we had a new ringmaster that came in partway through because Yitta was initially there, and then partway through it switched over, and Laura was in the ring with me. and she had remastered a little bit this season, but really not much at all before that. And it turned into her suddenly going, that is legitimately the most fun I have ever had at the Renaissance Festival, probably ever, was getting to spend, because she was there for the long haul. She was like a 4-hour stint with one person breaking her out in the middle because she didn't have to do too much show. It was mostly just making sure I didn't get hurt. But then also in the case of like big burly Marine guy, it took me telling him, whoa, dude, cut it out.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, congratulations. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
Other bits of excitement?
Overall, like I said, I've got the wedding and beyond that.
A hell of a lot of excitement.
Oh, shoot.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
You don't even know yet.
Oh, great news. I got a food truck for my wedding. Bad Rooster. I've been filling their propane at my work for quite a while, and they are just fantastic.
Well, that's good thinking.
And so they're going to be doing catering for it. And they're like, well, you know, you've come in at short notice and on your days off and at 9 p.m. at night to come and fill our propane. So we're giving you the better than good guy discount.
Uh-huh.
Oh, no.
Very nice.
So good.
How can I handle that?
That's so sweet.
That's excellent. And that's very good news. Yeah.
This is a very important question. Will there be a bouncy castle?
Unfortunately, no, because one reason
I'm splitting over, flipping the table, storming.
Oh, I just lost Jenna as a wedding guest. Oh,
yeah, you will no longer have a Victorian specter in the background of all of your photos.
I wasn't planning on showing up for the official photos.
Well,
but if I can show up 500 feet in the background of the official photos.
Well, do keep in mind, like, our initial photos, we've already decided are going to be fencing. Meredith and I will be in our nice attire fencing each other. Nice. And we've gotten approval from the venue as long as we're not drinking and fencing. Mm-hmm. And I went, no, nobody would do that. That's crazy.
So the audience can hear the eyes that I am giving you at this moment.
So,
not when actual legalities are in matter.
I suppose. Meredith,
in your own backyard is a different story entirely.
Meredith has decided to, cross stitch her fencing mask. And so it's almost done. It's pretty neat, actually. Oh, wouldn't you know? I think I've got it here.
You got a visual?
Yeah. It's got some nice flowers on the top of it.
Oh, that's amazing.
Massive.
Yes.
Oh, cute.
Little pink eyes. And it's like full on fabric. She's cross stitching the whole thing on there. And then my mask, which just looks like, you know, straight up Majora's mask, basically.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
a nice friendly fencing belt.
Right.
Lovely. I am so excited.
Well,
shall we maybe take a break? My drink's empty. And
I think that's a great plan. I just wrapped mine up too.
Timing.
Oh, you see, I came prepared. I brought a second one.
There we go.
Well, then you can just hang out for a second while us unprofessional schlubs go get a drink.
Sounds good.
Yep. We'll be right back at you.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
No. And then there is no point.
No.
And I somehow managed to get disappointed.
That sounds like a trip
every
I had.
Time.
And then I found
like
$5.
A traveling trip?
Yes, a traveling trip.
And we're back. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Josh.
Yay! Girl. We did it.
So,
Do you want to know what I've been up to?
Boy, howdy.
Do you all remember last week when I was talking about how I had spent some time at my boyfriend's, my sweet, wonderful boyfriend's, because I had heard a mouse in my apartment?
Oh, no.
And, but had not caught visual of it.
Sure.
So I spent a few days at his place and I kind of like took myself down a little bit and I'm like, maybe it was just passing by. Maybe we're going to be good. There were no mice caught in traps. No, no, nothing. And so I spent a couple days at my place and I think it wasn't the morning after. It may have been the morning after I recorded the podcast. I wake up. And I say, Google, turn on the lights. And then there is squeaking.
Oh, unpleasant.
Caught it.
Oh.
Yeah. So we caught that particular mouse. I have no idea if there are more. I don't know. That's the problem.
That is a problem.
Right? So we got that one. A guy came out. Like, they called the actual, like, mouse people. And the mouse people were like, yeah, so we laid out some poison, and, yeah, well, we can check back in a couple weeks. And I was like, when I talked to the office, they had talked about filling in holes and things like that. And he's like, well, I'm not here to do that. I'm not prepared for that. And I was like, so...
What you're saying is you're worthless to me.
Right. I'm like, I already have poison out. And he's like, well, I put some behind the stove and behind the dishwasher. And I'm like, okay.
Some in your food. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. I was like, but you know, the mouse was caught over at the heat register on the other side of my apartment where they keep coming in through the holes over by the heat register. Which is why I have traps there, which is why I caught one. And I was like, well, but there's plenty of holes over here in the kitchen, too. And I'm like, that's not helpful at all.
No, that's
that is the worst thing you could tell me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was unhelpful. But I decided, and I had already kind of, like, there were a couple of factors going for me in this decision. I've been debating moving out of this place anyway, because I want to have a space big enough to have people over proper, as opposed to having to use. I love my rooftop lounge. I love this apartment building, for a wide variety of reasons. I have a party room. I have a rooftop lounge. The fireworks last year were fucking incredible.
True.
Over Bidet Makaska, it was glorious. There's a pool, there's free coffee. I prefer my own, but it's nice to have in case I run out, like, you know, they have services. I have underground garage park, like, and it's right along the lake. So I can take a walk anytime I want to. And I have, and it's lovely. That's like,
I got to meet up with you that one time and we just kind of went for a nice casual stroll just because.
Yeah.
Like that was so good.
And yeah, there are many, many things I love about this apartment, but I can't just have a group of people over to play games without booking a party room. I can't have people out in my backyard for a sit down around the fire bowl having a drink kind of a thing.
Okay, I've got a solution. Just buy the whole apartment. So it's your party room.
I don't think I can. I have a pretty good hand job, but actually that brings me to the other thing. I have been trying for the past several years to get to the point where I can buy a house. And the market has always been just like one step ahead of me over the past few years. And this year it is fucking topsy-turvy. There is no goddamn way I am buying a house in this market. Oh my God. I was talking to a friend who has a place in Southeast and her next door neighbors sold their duplex in Southeast for over $100,000 of their asking price, putting that place at over $500,000 in total sales in Southeast. And it's not like classy with chandeliers or anything. It is kind of a little ramshackle, actually. And they sold it for over $500,000. And I'm just like, nope, I'm out.
Well, that's
there is no way I'm buying a house in this market. That's just not happening.
Same kind of thing happened right next door. Literally, house immediately next door to mine is the exact same floor plan. House built in 1905, 1910, kind of somewhere in there. And the house went up for sale. And I called my good friend James. And I'm like, or I think I sent out a Facebook post. And I'm like, anybody looking for a house? And James set up a scheduled appointment to go just view it the next day.
Yeah.
And
the next day, literally within 24 hours.
And then I was like, hey, man, are you going to come over and take a look at that? Like, I'd like to go and see that place. And he just goes, oh, no, it's already sold.
Yep.
And so not only did it already sell, but it's verbatim my house, except for my house was purchased by a nonprofit that updated all of the windows, updated it from radiated to central heat and air, did a bunch of just quality of life adjustments on the whole construction of it. And so my house is updated, fresh and nice for, you know, present day living. That house has none of that. And it sold for $100,000 more than mine.
Jesus Christ.
And, and first of all, it was that. And also it was.
And that was like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, about that. A year and a half, 2 years, something like that.
Year and a half to 2 years. Yeah.
And this guy, literally, I talked with him. He goes, oh, yeah, no, like there were houses, like there was a house that was like a $250,000 house. And, you know, we took a look at it and we put an offer in. And then they would go, oh, sorry, we accepted somebody else's offer. They offered us $400,000.
Yep.
And he goes, but it was like a house that looked like it was worth $250,000. And so this house, it went up. They didn't even show up to look at it. They hadn't shown up. They hadn't seen it. They didn't have it inspected. They just went, yep, here's our money.
Yeah, so I'm not buying a house in this market.
Is
what it comes down to. Like, I've been waiting for things to stabilize, and they haven't. And I'm just tired of waiting. So what I'm going to do is rent, hopefully, a house that I can just live in for a while. My requirements are has to have enough space in case like a family member needs to come crash, needs a place to stay. If Joe and I get to the point, maybe he moves in. Has to have enough space for those things. And also no mice. And that's pretty much it as far as my requirements.
A pretty easy bar, hopefully.
I do have a lot of other wants and desires that are feeding into this, but like those are my top tier. This is what I need. And even so, like, renting right now is still ridiculous. And the other factor for me deciding that I'm going to move out of this lovely place that I do love, aside from the every few months having a mouse issue, my lease is coming due, and my options for leasing, if I went to a month to month, it would be $350 more.
Oh
yeah. Everyone just wants to have that slapped on them.
Oh, buddy. Like, and here's the problem. Like, I could do it and be eating nothing but ramen. No.
Yeah,
I'm not doing that.
Not have to.
I mean, I also right now have a storage locker that I'm renting for some of my stuff. And that is more than the storage. Like, me moving out of here and getting a reasonably priced, bigger sized place will be more cost effective for me and save me more money if I can get my stuff out of that storage locker. Like, it's just like, nope. Okay, I can feasibly rent a house, but it's still ridiculous out there. It's just insane. I put in a couple of inquiries already in things, and like, I can't move until May. A couple of inquiries that I just never heard back from. And then the listing was gone like 2 days later, and I'm like, well,
yep,
not going to hear back from them.
I know a good place in Chisago City if you're looking. Oh, the glare. I can taste that.
I don't.
Holy fuck.
Don't. There's like, that is a minimal effort glare because I'm just too goddamn tired.
Legitimate.
Oh, well, and that's the fun thing. Like, people are like, oh, I know about this house for sale. And I'm like, no. No, the point is, I'm not buying anything right now because the market is fucked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, well, have you considered this thing? And I'm like, yes. Yes, I have.
My ass.
I have actively talked to people about these things already, and it is not feasible for me to get a house, nor is it smart for me to get a house in this market. Like, no, stop. Stop trying to get me to buy a house, goddammit.
And I'm sat here like, oh, the house next door that has none of these updates sold for $100,000 over asking price over, you know, what my house is worth. And I'm just like, I could make some good money right now. I just have nowhere to live.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, yeah.
I have friends who sold their house right now, and it sold, and they just like, because they're done with that place. And they don't have a house to move into, but they can rent an apartment for a few years and still have an enormous amount of money left over.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah,
that's
that housing market crash, please. Yeah.
They're gonna let that money mature in the bank and, you know, like put it into a 2-year CD or something like that. And then,
yeah. 2-year CD is the name of my second album.
and third and fourth and fifth.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a,
yes, exactly. Yeah. No. So yeah, I've been looking at houses and, I do have one that I'm going to go look at, this Saturday, another one I'm hoping to hear more back from because it is glorious. It is the steal of a fucking century. With like 2,000 some square feet, 3 bedrooms, 2.5 bathrooms, under 1,600 a month.
Hello, highway robbery.
I'm just like, are you a scam? You feel like you might be a scam, but you also might not be a scam.
I was just telling somebody about something that happened to me where I accidentally broke into a house with some friends. Yeah.
Okay.
So
this reminds me of a thing Joe said. I'm going to say it real quick.
Yeah.
He got a phone call from somebody selling siding when he was like a teenager at his mom's house. And they're like, are you the owner of the house? And he goes, no, I stole it. And the guy on the other end is like, what? He's like, yeah, there were people here. I kicked him out, told him to leave the couch.
Yeah.
It's mine now.
Yeah.
So I guess technically I own it, but like not through purchase.
Theft by conversion.
And the guy just hung up.
Yeah. Good.
Anyway, that one was quick. Continue with your thievery.
Well, two friends of mine, one of whom I was dating at the time, were looking at a place to move instead of the apartment that they lived in. And they this was in like 2018. And so housing was still not made of gold. And they had found an ad online for a place that was going to be like $1,800 a month, but it had some enormous number of bedrooms, like five, six bedrooms, like 4 bathrooms, 3 of which were full bath. And like it had three garages and a shed and a, not three garage spaces, it had a one car garage and two other two car garages. All it was a very weird arrangement, but kind of awesome, actually.
Yes.
And they got permission to go take a look at the house. And the guy was like, well, yeah, something came up and it's across town from me and I just won't be able to get there. But the garage door is open. So just let yourselves in.
Go which take a look one? Around.
Right. The one attached to the house and the. Okay. They sent messages back and forth for a little while and. The guy was like, yeah, oh, and there's a realty sign out there. I need to replace it. It's still from the old company. The owner switched to me because there was some shenanigans with this other company. So, you know, don't worry about it. So we go there. It's a fucking gorgeous house. We let ourselves in through the garage. It's got two separate kitchens. It's just an enormous, like a manse.
It is the community living dream.
Functionally, yes.
Yeah.
And they like both of them were like, oh, this is fucking amazing because we have these friends who need places to live and we can rent out to them. And then our actual payment's going to be, you know, we can just divide the rent and it's going to be so good. And we can tell so-and-so that this is, you know, right. All of these dreams, everything mm-hmm. like that. And then after we leave, they get on the phone with him and they're like, oh, yeah, no, we would like to make an offer on and we have our stuff together and everything like that. And he's like, oh, great. Yeah, excellent. All right. Well, we're actually going to be not selling it. The owner has decided not to sell it. The owner has decided that they're going to rent for a year while they fix up some things and they're going to then sell it. And if you're living there, then you'll be top of the list for, you know, whatever. And you're like, okay, well, I mean, how much is the rent? And he goes, oh, it's, you know, it's the same amount, you know, that you would be paying for the, so it's going to be like $1,800 a month. I'm like, oh, great. Yeah. Cool. And he goes, I'm going to need the first and last month's rent up front. And I know that that's a lot of money, but I'm going to keep, you know, showing the house to people and everything like that, unless you can give me a down payment. And we'll, you know, $1,000, something like that, right? And it just keeps getting more and more suspect until
right.
it comes out through investigation, like not even great investigation, just some Googling that this is very clearly a scam.
Oh my God.
And that that house was empty and the door was unlocked, but we had no business being there. And that it would have been extraordinarily surprising to the actual realtor if they had opened the door and we were just in there milling about looking at the place. Oh yeah. The realtor said it. No, I didn't. Yeah. No. So, that was some excitement. So scam shit absolutely happens.
You see, and that's where, like when I was shopping for houses, you know, you get the fancy little MLS like link and it gives you the page you can scroll through and look at all the houses. Mm-hmm. Well, there's this nice house that was, a house gets marked down just because it's not selling or whatever else they listed on. Mm-hmm. This house was listed at $480,000. And then it was marked down to, in my budget, which is much, much less than $480,000.
Right. Yeah.
And I go, well, I got to see what's up. And so sure. I click on it. I'm going through the pictures and it's, you know, there's a two car garage attached and then a six car garage detached. And then you go in through and you go in and it's like the kitchen of literal dreams. It's got, you know, the full on like island with all the space in the world, bar stools and stuff. It's got the kitchen mm-hmm. with all of the burgers, everything you could want. And then you keep on going, and then you look, and off the edge of the kitchen is like a landing that overlooks the whole living room, which is a massive living room. Wow. It's got bedrooms. You go downstairs, and they've got a billiards room. It's a house with a literal Jesus billiards room.
Fucking Christ. And then you were looking at the Clue Mansion.
No, and it gets better. You keep going, and like it's got a fully finished basement. It, like everything about this house is perfect. And then it goes to outside, and you look outside, and it is like probably three times the yard that I have right now, which is already for Minneapolis a pretty big yard, but three times the yard that I have. The Mississippi.
Jesus.
It is riverfront property. And this is like, you know, just Brooklyn Center, Brooklyn Park, just outside of Minneapolis. And I'm just like, everything about this is perfect. Why would they get priced down so low? And then starts the second half of the pictures after the fire.
Oh, fuck.
So you're going through it. This house was big enough and large enough and all of this that it had its own sprinkler system, but its own sprinkler system doesn't mean much when all of this nicely brand new finished granite countertops and all of this, it ends up one of the electricians made a mistake and there was like a little fire in the basement that caused smoke damage throughout the whole house. The sprinkler system caused water damage throughout the whole house.
And oh my God.
It was, and even there, I'm still sitting there going, oh, but I mean, it still is riverfront property. I can live out of a four-car garage.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was, Jesus. You're scrolling through it, just going, once again, wow, this is way too good to be true. And that's why.
Sometimes it is.
Yeah.
Actually too good to be true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Anyway, that's what I've been up to.
Huh. Fair enough.
How about you, James?
James.
I had a super chill date.
Mm.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm shocked by this.
Just that. Just had a super chill date. We read short stories to each other and then went for a walk in the park after enjoying some sandwiches. And then drove around like I fucking houses. Speaking of looking at houses, like drove around like, okay, this is around the lake, and oh my God, look at these houses.
That's why you drive around the lake.
That's why I live on the lake, bitches. I
don't know. Yeah. It's snooty.
Yep. And then that was it. Nice. Just such a pleasant. I got to introduce that person to the extreme joys of shelf stable box milk. Different from powdered milk, shelf stable box milk is delicious, but Jenna unsafe.
Yeah,
sadly.
Absolutely.
But, you know, delicious.
Wait, like oat milk?
No,
milk I could have.
Oh, this is basically a big fucking juice box, and you open it, and there's real dairy full milk in there. Each box lasts, you know, on the shelf as long as it hasn't been opened. It stays on the shelf and lasts, stamped with a date like 6 to 8 months in the future.
Yeah.
And then when you open it, that's when the timer ticks down and you have to finish a quart of milk in a week.
Oh yeah. Not that hard. No. That's,
And right now, the fact that I can pick up four of those for $1 each means that it is the same price as just buying a gallon of milk.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Except for you can have them just sitting there ready to go when you're ready for them.
For 6 months. Yeah. And I've actually gotten in the habit of having 4 quarts just hanging out. Because we will run out of the regular jug of milk that we have and still have dry fucking cereal. And then what?
Well, you see, and that's where it gets turned around for me, because I now suddenly am living in a house filled with people who are off that milk life.
Right.
Yeah. And I can't do a gallon of milk.
Yeah.
I can't necessarily even do a quart of milk. And except for there's that one situation where you're like baking something, you're cooking something, and you're like, oh shit, I need milk. Oh no. Yeah. Lo and behold, guess what doesn't turn to real pudding when you mix it with fake milk?
Fake.
Instant which pudding.
Okay.
Which fake milk?
I think I tried almond.
I'm going to recommend trying cashew.
Oh, because I know how to do instant pudding as a person who doesn't milk.
Yes.
Yes.
Actually.
Oh, literally have
experience. Yeah, no, that is
it's
how...
It's not like you wrote me up a list of non-dairy...
Acquired the arcane arts of non-dairy pudding.
You know, the person who provided a page and a half of substitutions and a couple of recipes on non-dairy items. Yeah, I would recommend cashew milk. Make sure that it is shaken thoroughly before you try to mix it.
Mm.
No, not stirred.
Well, yeah.
You shake that bitch up like it's a shake weight.
Finally. All this training.
I could have said something worse and I didn't.
Yep.
You're welcome.
Yep. My everything. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Well, should we maybe take a break?
I think that's a stellar plan. Let's do that.
Let's do the break thing.
Lovely.
All right. Two and two. We'll be right back at you. Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. And check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
I have had to parallel park into an icy parking space uphill.
Mm-hmm.
At a 35 degree angle, both ways, barefoot. and we're back.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And I'm Josh.
And wow. I can parallel park in Duluth. That's, yep. Anyway, hey everybody. How do you feel about a Fast Five?
Fast Five.
Fast Five?
Oh my God. The rules of the Fast Five are as such. Somebody provides A and B choices with zero context.
Mm-hmm.
We go through these A or B choices and we choose A or B. Not both. Not C. Doesn't exist. It's just A or B. Mm-hmm. Those are the only choices. We go through and make those choices without context. And then after we have made the choices for all five no context choices, we go back through and we receive our context and we discuss whether we have chosen correctly without the context or if the context alters our decision in any way, shape, or form. Possibly who is right and who
and
is dead.
Who is dead?
There it is. Okay. I set you up for that one, James.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. Today's Fast Five comes to us from... me! Because we may have received some Fast Fives, but without Salsa here, it'd be like, hey, we got some Fast Fives. We have no idea. So if you did
brand
use
new
the
form.
I know. If you did use our shiny new form, we probably got it. I have no way to verify that right now, and I have no way to pull it up, but I, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you doing so. And do remember, we do have a shiny new form for submitting Fast Fives on our website. Everybody is still able to do so via email, using the old method, except for Mav. Mav is required to use the form now.
Yeah.
We will just dismiss any 17 emails that you send us for Fast Fives.
Yeah.
Although I'm sure Mav will find a way. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Where the form is your fault, Mav. The form is your fault. That's what
I've been getting a lot of emails from a Maui.
Pirate Maui.
Oh my god. So anyway, all of that said, why don't we get into our Fast Five? I was inspired by our lovely guest and associations I have with him and the people that he surrounds himself with.
Oh, no.
And the areas that he... It's Fest-inspired. It's just Fest-inspired. Oh, that's all I'm getting to, honestly. So, yeah. Anyway, and I did hear you, James, and I'm unhappy about the situation, but I don't have a better option, so here we go. Question number one. God damn it. Leather.
Ooh.
Or glass?
Leather.
Which fencing booth prize comes with greater renown for the fencing booth tournament? Is it because in past we've had $50 certificates to leather shops?
Oh yeah.
But we've also had the Stedman Memorial I'm Not Dead Glass Dragon.
I hear Ruse earned like 12 of those, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it's the saddest piece of all of that. Kind of at the end of the day, I don't know that we're getting glass dragons anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no.
The gentleman who used to make them has kind of retired, and then the leftovers that were available that he absolutely said would be accessible for us all got stolen.
That's so messed up.
Mm-hmm.
I feel so bad for him.
So, less than stellar. But on the other side is, I think leather. Leather's my choice.
Leather. Leather is your choice. James?
Yeah. I think I've got to go... leather too. I've been thinking about making a couple of pieces of leather armor.
Okay.
That's effort. A lot of effort.
Oh yeah.
I've done
my brother's done an awful lot of leather work.
Mm-hmm.
You maybe have a chit chat with him on that.
Yeah.
All right. I personally am gonna go glass.
This
I'm gonna
is
go
a
glass.
Hard choice.
Oh yes, these are all hard choices.
Okay.
Question number two. Bone. Or metal.
Okay.
Okay, so I think like in the direction, you know, fast and all of that.
Yeah.
Dice. There's the McLaren games. They've got the bone dice, the metal dice. Yeah. And out of the two of them, the bone dice are for sure the ones I would go with like 100% of the time because I got the metal dice once and they just don't roll.
Those are gorgeous. I have a wonderful set of metal dice that I received from a friend and they're big and heavy and clunky and amazing.
And dent the table every time you go for a saving roll.
Exactly.
Well, there is a reason that I have a leather blotter on my desk, aside from just mouse traction.
Oh, so, actually, I did just get somebody, my dad's buddy, 3D printed a dice tower for me.
Oh, those dice towers are amazing.
It gets even better is the dice tower has, if you look down into the hole where you drop the dice, it's got a staircase. And so the dice actually roll down the staircase.
Aww.
That's so good.
That's fantastic.
I think. Well, because there's also like hairpins.
Mm.
There are the commemorative pins that you can have customized.
I recently
bought a wooden hairpin and a metal hairpin. So I think like it's gorgeous too. It's like a weapon. It's fucking beautiful. I think I
go on
the metal. Legacy Forge makes them, and they're gorgeous. Oh,
but it's metal and bone, isn't it? Not wood.
Yes, yeah, but I know metal. That they also sell bone hairpins and things like that in various places, and I think I have to go with metal because that's what I picked up.
Okay, yeah. I'm marking my own choices on here. I'm going bone. Question number 3. Ribbon.
Okay.
Or fur.
What the fuck is that? What could it?
Costume accoutrement?
I guess.
Yeah.
Please say accoutrement again for me.
Accoutrement?
Accoutrement.
Accoutrement.
Sacre bleu, accoutrement?
Accoutrement. Thank you.
Meanwhile, Sean Pitre somewhere is like, you.
Oh, he's so sad right now.
These fucking bastards.
I think I would go fur because, like, I've done some costuming stuff in the past, and like a nice, like, you know, like I had a skunk pouch that was made out of like an actual skunk at one point, and things like that.
Yeah.
Like, the feel of fur just beats ribbon 100% of the time.
I think I have to go with fur for very similar reasons. If it were not for kangaroo fur, our Roo would never have his blessed nickname. His true booth name.
Oh, that's fair.
So
Roo, I know this guy by a different name entirely. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but we try to keep swearing to a fucking minimum.
Oh, y'all don't just call him asshole? All
right. I mean, sometimes.
Dick wanker?
Obviously. Yeah. With a
Dick wanker is actually a way better name for him.
Wait, Dick wanker or Dick winker?
Wanker.
Okay.
That didn't answer my question.
I follow.
You asked me an or question, and I gave you an answer to that. So... That might not have answered the question you had in your head, but it did in fact answer the question you asked.
The old Reddit switcheroo. Yeah.
Boom. Anyway, I'm going to go ribbon.
Oh, well.
Fair enough.
Question number 4. There you go. Leather or wood?
Huh. Mugs?
Wood.
Possibly mugs?
Yeah.
That might be a misleading, that might be a red herring.
Oh!
Communism was just a red herring.
The real enemy was capitalism.
That's the lol sob meme. Little kid that starts laughing and ends up crying.
Yeah. Yep. But I have two really beautiful mugs, and they each mean something very different. The wood one was the one that I got first when I started with Booth, which has really kicked off this part of my life. And I recently went to the time and trouble of getting it repaired because of how much it means to me. So I think I have to go with wood.
Okay.
C, and for me, it's ass backwards on that. For mugs, my first mug and my mug that I took to the booth with me was a leather mug, and it was a Mac mug from my father that he so ungraciously stole back from me this season and took away. And so, you know, I'm going to go with wood because, you know, I won wood. Yeah. I stole it in a tournament from somebody else by taking first place.
Yeah, from somebody who could have used a mug.
That too.
All right, I'm gonna go leather.
All right.
Question number five. I love watching you scramble. Oh shit! I have a job. That's right.
Oh yeah.
Cole. Or Mav.
Oh shit. This can't be who would win at a fight because
that's Mav.
That is Mav, yeah.
I'm gonna go with Cole. Just for the sake of spiting Mav.
I know that they each look up to each other for different reasons. Like each of them thinks that the other one has got something really good going on that they admire about that person. However, Cole has been on more recently. So gotta go with Mav.
Wow. Oh, that's making me rethink my choice entirely. This is one of those I don't want to choose questions, honestly. Yeah. Even knowing the context, I'm like, what asshole set this up? But thinking it through, I'm going to go Mav for a very specific reason.
Oh, specific reason.
And that is five.
I am the black sheep.
My friends, listeners, apropos, are you ready for the context? I can't really say I'm opening up another email because I just wrote it on this pad.
That would be extremely weird. Should still email these to Salsa.
I probably will afterwards. And be like, what? Fuck you. Use the form. I'm going to use the form.
Oh my God, yes.
For more than just QA. I'm actually going to send these to... No, because if I do that, he might actually put them in the backlog.
Yeah, there is a very real
risk. Yeah, there's a real risk with that form. God damn it. All right, I'll just send him emails. So anyway, question number one, leather or glass, which is your preferred material for fake roses?
Oh, shit.
Definitely still in the same vein. Glass are too breakable.
Glass ones are beautiful, though.
Oh, absolutely gorgeous. But I have known pretty much every type of rose ever offered at Fest I have seen break, except a leather one.
Yeah.
I actually still have a bunch of metal ones that I don't know if they make them anymore. Old copper roses. Yeah. There was a place that used to make the copper rose. Go ahead, Josh.
No, my dad got for my mom ages ago before the divorce a gold dipped rose. And and so it was, we had at home sitting in like different vases on the mantle above the fireplace was a gold dipped rose, a stone rose, and a leather rose. And all of those, plus I've known a couple of people that got like copper ones. Every single one's broken except a leather.
Yeah. I still have I have several. I think I have like three copper roses, a fabric rose that is still somehow intact.
Ooh.
A couple of leather roses.
Mm-hmm.
And so here I need to tell the story about my glass roses. Every year out at Fest, I would buy a couple of glass roses.
Uh-huh.
Because they make the most exquisite wedding presents.
Right. Ooh, yeah.
Oh.
So I never bought them for myself and nobody ever bought them for me. Yeah. But I would buy these roses. I'd have them displayed with my other Fest roses. Mm-hmm. And then somebody got married. I would give them one of these roses. And there was one marriage in particular for a girl that I actually grew up with out at Fest. And I was like, I think she'd like this one that I've been holding on to for a while. And I gave it to her. And she messaged me back as soon as she got that, opened that present. She was like, I always said I would marry the guy that gave me a black rose. And I ended up marrying the guy that gave me a black rose. And the fact that you gave me a black glass rose is such an incredible gift to get for my wedding. And I'm like,
aww.
I win. Like,
you're this is like woman after her own heart.
It's true.
Accurate. Yeah.
Yeah. She is a hot redhead. Not gonna lie.
Wow. There it is.
It's what we do. So anyway, but yeah, so I did the glass roses thing for a while, and then I started just buying things off of registry because I knew there was, I had a lot of friends going through some hard times, and I'm like, I mean, a glass rose is great, but you need plates.
Yeah.
So...
But have you ever drunk something out of a cup? It's amazing.
Oh my God. Eating with more than just like two sticks you found on the ground. Fantastic.
Amazing.
Yeah. So yeah, I stopped doing that. And I think it was shortly after that. Cause I was like, well, I've fucking peaked with this. It's just, never going to do better than that. So,
right.
Anyway. So yeah, that's why I went glass. Yeah. Question number two. Bone or metal?
Mm-hmm.
Which is your preferred button to get at Fest?
Uh-huh.
You were tiptoeing around it.
Fuck.
I watched you tiptoe around it, and I think you even said it once, and then you
out of it.
You talked yourself into those hair sticks, man.
Shit.
I watched you do it. It was delightful.
All right. I just recently, I've never received one of the metal pins, but I just recently received a bone pin from Josh's roommate that says, because of my nickname, Pho, it says Antifa or Antifa, which is fucking amazing.
Wouldn't you know, I am familiar with said roommate who purchased you this pin. And
you know you're a roommate.
Yes, I do know my roommate.
Hello, roommate.
I am shocked, I tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also prefer the bone pins. They have a better just buy it selection. Also, you can customize. They stand out better.
That's another thing.
Like a lot, like just visually, you're like, oh, I can read this as opposed to the pewter where you're like, what's that saying? I'm like, COVID, 6 feet. Fuck, go away.
Light and durable is the best part about them.
Yeah. Buy one that says you are too close.
That's a joke for post-pandemic.
That's
or
true.
Less problematic endemic, depending on where we end up. Well, now that I made that sad, question number three. Ribbon or fur?
Okay.
Which is your preferred belt and or mug dangle?
Ooh.
You see.
I'm
now strongly considering how much I need a furry mug dangle.
For Your furry mug dangle is my porn name.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus.
I've seen furry mug dangles. Like, I've actually seen rabbit's feet.
I've seen a few too.
I've seen like ribbon's feet, rabbit's feet, and like, you know, smaller versions of foxtails and whatever else. But the ribbon, man, the ribbon just captures a place in my heart.
So if there is a native dead animal that you desire the fur or otherwise of, there's a place I know in Cosmos, Minnesota.
Oh my God.
It's a little ways out there, called Leetsu. And there was some stuff I was doing with Boy Scouts where we were doing like leather work and whatnot. And it's like they straight up have like just hangers of wolf pelts, of bear pelts, of buffalo pelts.
Huh.
And so,
oh my goodness.
If there's like a desired animal, like I've been considering making a trip out there to do some leather work stuff, but a trip out there for specific animals for furry mug dangles, like, I mean.
Furry mug dangles.
Oh, that's a t-shirt. Hashtag furry mug dangles.
I used to have a ribbon mug dangle gifted by Mrs. Mudd, actually.
Oh, nice.
Who has the entwined rose ribbon weaving braiding store. I'm never quite sure which to call it. It feels like weaving to me the way I do it, but like it's basically the same idea.
Yeah.
But anyway, I am super sad because I had that and I'd put it on a backpack that I used regularly because the colors coordinated with the backpack really well. And then somebody broke into my house and stole a few things.
Fuck.
And then my work laptop, fuck it. TV, whatever. The ribbon that Mrs. Mug made for me. I was just like, oh, God,
just
damn
fucking
it.
Hurtful.
Yeah, it was. I used to keep a theater backpack. So all of my theater projects that I was working on at any given point in time were in that backpack. I could just pick it up and go. Yeah.
Wait,
well, somebody picked it up.
I know how to find it. Just look for the person who gets put on the farthest point of the wait list at Fringe.
God damn it.
They picked up your backpack. They're using your ideas. All of them.
They shouldn't. So, yeah. I went ribbon. Number one, it was very popular in my childhood.
Sure.
And I do technically know how to make them. I actually did my first one for a while just to see if I still could. Yeah. The answer is yes. It turned out all right. There were some places where I flipped instead of folded, and it's barely noticeable, but I see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? One of those things, nobody else looking at this thing is going to be like, ha-ha, there's your one tiny mistake in all 3 feet of this woven ribbon.
That is, like, verbatim, like the car I was working on today. There's the classy way to cut a bumper and plastic when you're installing like a hitch and wiring on a person's car. And one of that would be, you know, use the real fancy soldering iron with the plastic cutting tip and shit like that. And I'm like, look, I'm just trying to get this shit done today. And so it was snip, snip with these really nice scissors that are built to cut even plastic, some metal, stuff like
That's
that.
Way worse than what I thought.
And
better?
I slapped the wiring up there, and then I finally brought the guy out there. I'm like, hey, just come take a look at your car, see what you think of it. He's looking at it, he goes, oh, wow. And I'm like, uh-oh. And he just goes, this is even better than I thought it'd be. And I'm just looking at it, like, seeing the ridge of where I cut with these scissors, like, oh, God.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Question number four. Leather or wood?
Okay.
Which is your preferred mug?
Hey.
Go ahead.
I can add to that with, after going from leather to wood, you know, leather does do a certain amount of holding in the flavor that can be great, but overwhelmingly, the wood mug just does it all.
Kind of, yeah.
I don't know. Leather mugs were the thing to get as a performer at Fest.
Yeah.
And I remember very specifically in Academy, I think it was Tim Wick, who said, mm-hmm. I recommend getting a leather mug.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're way kinder to you when you land on them.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
And I was like, oh. So I think that's one of the reasons why I have penchant for leather mugs. Plus,
sure.
I have a 4-digit Mac mug now.
That's
fucking cool.
So,
there's a gentleman who used to own the booth, who shall not be named.
Yep.
Correct.
Who very explicitly got himself a Mac mug with a cat on it. And everybody goes, oh, when did you get it? And he goes, oh, I got it a couple of years ago at a thrift store.
God damn it.
Yep.
Yep.
well.
Mm. So anyway, that leads me to question number 5.
Cole or Mav?
Who would you rather get fencing tips from?
Oof.
I stand by my answer. Cole is absolutely capable of explaining it, no matter how your brain works.
Absolutely. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. I don't think, like, I've received some tips from Mav on how to fence, but mm-hmm. overwhelmingly, Cole absolutely has given me the most kind of thorough, and then goes, and if that doesn't make sense, think of it this way, and you go,
yep.
Oh, yeah, it is like custard.
Yeah, you know, dairy-free.
What? Anyway, all
use
right.
Cashew milk.
Yeah, use cashew milk. Shake it up real good first. I said Mav only because mm-hmm. last year I was able to get so much information out of Cole.
Ah.
I haven't been able to drill Mav for fencing tips the way I have been able to.
Oh, yeah.
God damn it.
Oh.
Anyway. So I would love to be able to just pick at Mav's brain mm-hmm. for fencing tips. I'm gonna say it that way.
Well, and so like one of the most satisfying things is out of anybody, really, James probably has had the most exposure with the booth at large on various mm-hmm. people. But mm-hmm. one of the funnest things I've gotten to see is, you know, Mav is very Mav Rue. They learned fencing from booth, so they.
Right.
have a very strange and peculiar way of explaining it that's nice and satisfying because that's exactly the same boat I'm in. But then you see, you know, Cole talk about it and he, you know, talks kind of fencing about it. And then there was one point where somebody goes, hey, Riga, what's position 5? And he goes, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 5. This is 5. And so he legitimately didn't know the answer and goes through the motions because he knows what the motions are.
Yep.
I know 5. If you ask me 2 or 3, I have to think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
But I agree. 5 is there's 5. 5P. Yeah. Hanging 5. Whatever.
They've both given me really solid advice, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But the most recent bit of incredible wisdom that I have yet to put into practice, mostly because it's wisdom and you've met me,
fair,
is something that Cole told me about angles of attack and block.
Mm.
I look forward to practicing that and trying to
make that work for me. But I'm also, just as Jenna said, excited to learn more things from Mav as well. I've gotten advice from all three of the people mentioned, and I think I've gotten the most advice from Riga, second most advice from Cole, and then just a couple of like really good, solid, helpful tips from Mav. Mostly, those tips are at the end of his sword. and too fast to see. So that's another thing. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. So that was our Fast Five. If you would like to send in a Fast Five, we have a form. I don't know if you've heard of it. Go to aonpodcast.com. There is a form option on our menu. Select it, fill it out. It will automatically separate everything out for you, so you don't have to send two emails. You can just type, and be done.
Tip-a-tap.
Tip-a-tap. So anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, does anybody have any shout-outs?
I can't remember. Well, wouldn't you know, I've got a few things here. By a few things, I mean one specific thing. So I run a thing called the Fencing Booth.
I've never heard of it.
Hold on. I want to be clear. This is shout-outs, not plugs.
Oh,
shout-out. You can also do a plug here. Oh, but yes. we're talking about, like, kudos.
Oh, yeah.
Things that brightened your day or life or
person, an object. Let me see where we're going with this.
Right. Okay. I gave my shout out last week to Joe, because he's been super kind to me, and I'm very tempted to do that again because I have been staying at his place. And it's a tiny place for two people to be hanging out in over the course of several days.
Yeah.
But instead, I think I want to give my shout out to the Minneapolis teachers.
Hell yes.
They are currently striking for better conditions for both themselves and their students.
Mm-hmm.
My understanding is they have been doing this school year without a finalized contract.
Wow.
Ew.
And I'm just like, number one, that sounds familiar. But number two, that's an awful lot for people to just do because it needs to be done.
That's a lot of
without trust, having something finalized,
mm-hmm.
like your livelihood.
That.
Like, that's a big ass fucking deal.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, the Minneapolis teacher strike does continue, or at least was still today because I heard them. I wish them all the best. But I would also like to just sneak in a little, hey, if you haven't called your school board yet about them, and you're in Minneapolis, you don't have to have a child. You can just be tired of listening to them chant at you all day. go leave a bunch of messages on, the voicemails of various people in the school board saying, hey, why are you being assholes? Maybe phrase it nicer than that, but whatever.
To the assholes whom it may concern.
That, exactly. But yeah, so shout out and kudos to teachers. Keep fighting the good fight. I appreciate the hell out of you. I know I could not do your job. Okay. I looked at it once and went, nope, and fucked right the hell out. So I appreciate everybody that takes on that task, especially during the times in which we live.
Mm-hmm.
And you deserve way fucking better than you have, and so do our students.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Who else? Who else has something, James?
I want to give a shout out to... I think... I want to give a shout out to the Dregs. And it's not usual for me to give a shout out to anything that Tim is doing. That's fucking Tim.
Right.
But I want to give a shout out to the Dregs. They are back out performing. They lost someone very dear and very talented at the beginning of the pandemic. And it's coming back up on a year since it happened. And that's just fucking brutal. And they work so hard and they deserve so much love and support. In spite of just being a crass bunch of assholes. But I know that I look forward to the Dregs After Dark every year. I know that I look forward to their concerts. I buy their new albums. I'm a total fucking shill for the Dregs. And I'm so happy that they are continuing, and it takes a lot. It takes a lot. And I appreciate that.
And all of the shout outs that they've all had today for everything with that.
Right. Josh, did you have something? You don't have to. You're a guest. You can say fuck being nice to people and just pass it on over. But
yeah, fuck. I don't need to be nice to anyone. Jeez.
I mean, my other shout out was going to be for electric blankets because they've been keeping me real warm lately.
I think my other shout out is to Josh.
Oh, no.
A friend of mine was moving at the end of February and needed a truck. And my buddy Josh here, he
reached into his magical top hat.
Good at helping out with those things. And gave us exactly the truck that we needed. And moving took 2.5 hours total, including picking the truck up and dropping it off, instead of being a series of like 7 fucking car trips lasting the entire day and into the next. And I just, it made a world of difference. And now the person that I helped move, the partner that I was helping to move, has a cozy house and is unpacked, and everything went just 1,000% more smoothly because we put everything into one vehicle and moved it, and it got done.
That is reassuring to hear, because do you know how many stressed out people I help out while they're moving? And you get them when they're mad.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you deserve love and support.
So gross.
Yeah, the gross time.
Ugh. So guess who started this segment, Josh?
Was it me?
No, I think it was also actually Salsa that originally came up with it.
Yes.
Which is kind of surprising, but here we are. All right. If there's no other shout-outs to be had, do we have any plugs?
Oh,
Josh!
I can't imagine pointing the finger at me. So wouldn't you know, I own a thing called the Fencing Booth.
And never heard of it.
So it is a not-for-profit business, not a non-profit business. So the tax stuff is all that really matters on that. Overall, every year, what we do is we take our earnings and, you know, we obviously take off what we need to get going for the next season. Everything else we donate to a different Minnesota children's charity every single year. And this year we donated, what was it, like $1,200, $1,000, something like that, to the Minnesota Make-A-Wish Foundation.
That's fucking awesome.
And I have received no less than like 4 thank you letters direct from Make-A-Wish saying, oh my God, thank you so much. Why did you do this?
Aw.
So
sweet people.
It's been a good time. And overall, that's the big thing is it's, you know, we could do a lot of things to make it X amount more money that we're making or X amount more successful. but it's kind of, in the past, it was a fundraiser for, you know, the U of M fencers. In the future, it ended up transitioning away from that when the U of M kind of restructured. And so that was the biggest reason that I took it on, was the opportunity to do that. But the number one problem is I need people who want to come and volunteer and help make the show go. And so the best part is, it's specifically if people volunteer for half a day, they get the other half the day at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival for free.
Yep.
Woo!
Easy as it gets. You can just go to thefencingbooth.com and right on there, it'll allow you to fill in a Google form that I probably need to finish up in the next like day or so.
Well, sure now that you've talked about it, kind of, yeah.
Make sure it's ready to go for this coming season.
So it's going
to
be another Fast Five form.
Yes. And so overall, it's going to be anybody can sign up. Even if you can only work a single day the entire Renaissance Festival season, and you are using it to come and volunteer for half a day at my booth and get the other half the day free. And it's really just about the free day at the Renaissance Festival. I don't care. I'm one of the few booths that has the ability to schedule around life and things like that because I'm volunteer run. So please.
Yeah.
Otherwise, if you have any questions, you can always email me at josh@thefencingbooth.com.
Yeah.
Yay. Come
take part in the next story we tell.
Come play with us.
Yeah.
All of the above.
Come see the little littles with their little mittens, and they go, and then,
my heart,
anyway, okay, a couple of things I want to plug. I am going to, this Friday, go to Kieran's Irish Pub for St. Patrick's Day, because Four Pints Shy is going to be playing. They're also playing on St. Patty's Day proper, which is Thursday, but that's at like 3 p.m. and fuck that noise. Friday at 9 p.m. I will be at Kieran's Irish Pub hanging out and chilling and listening to my kids play, because I grew up with them all and they're very dear to me. Don't tell them that though. And then, as stated earlier, I am going to be doing some storytelling for Good Grief, a night of storytelling about love and loss, focused on the grief aspect. I will be performing all four nights. So that is
holy fuck.
Thursday, April 7th at 7:30, Friday, April 8th at 7:30, Saturday, April 9th at 7:30. Also my divorce anniversary. Guess what I'll be talking about.
Oh, fuck.
And then Sunday, April 10th at 2 p.m. for you matinee people. all information and tickets can be had at strikethetre.com or Strike Theater on Facebook, or I've shared the link in the past and I'll do it again to the Facebook invite. There's also an Eventbrite thing. Also, on my banner at the top of my Facebook page, I have a link to buy the tickets there. There are tickets to be had, and you should go have some. They do require current vaccination and masking. So be prepared and don't throw a fucking tizzy fit when somebody asks you to be socially responsible.
Yep.
What? So yeah, and then every Wednesday, I know we haven't done it for the past couple Wednesdays because I've been in mouse freakout mode, but I'm desperately hoping that nothing shows up to sway me away from this Wednesday. Family game night, streaming with my family. The three of us will be streaming Valheim on Twitch. They did just do a recent update for the caves system. My brother has been chomping at the bit to get into them caves and start doing more dungeon crawly type stuff. So
I definitely should go back and check out Valheim since I bought it when it was like $7.99.
Yeah. No, they've got the caves update. And they had Josh, they had a Yule thing around Christmas time. Oh. So now I have we have a Yule tree.
Give it a moment.
And we have oh no. Oh, there fuck. We are. Am I here?
Jenna's back.
Am I here?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yule tree
and they have presents that are basically like chests. So you can store stuff in them, but they look like presents.
So good.
And so whenever we have something to pass to each other, but nobody's nearby, we just leave it in one of the presents. So we're giving each other gifts all the time. It's delightful. And I have a Yule hat. I walk around like Santa Claus. Shooting deer with bows and arrows, bitches.
Krampus, yeah, yes. Whatever.
It is. Awesome, yeah. But yeah, no. So they've recently dropped this caves thing, and I'm actually pretty excited to see what that looks like for the three of us, because we each definitely, I am definitely the long range bow and arrow person in our group. Also, I have all of the healing meads and the whatnot, so, you know. Also, if anyone's looking for a cleric in their D&D campaign, I really don't have the time right now, but that's it amounts to. It's the same character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Auntie Isla on Twitch. I don't know what else to say to you to get you to follow me. Or my family on Twitch. We've been doing this for like 8 months now.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We exist.
Wednesday nights. Starting at nights. 5 central.
I think we switched it to 6 because my actual day job has been getting more demanding lately.
That's right.
And I was like, I can't actually promise I'll be good for 5. So
fair enough.
Can we move it to 6? So
gotta have a little bit of
six to late. Usually 6 to 11 is still like 5 good fucking hours of gaming.
Oh,
so
that's an intense session. Yeah, shit.
I don't feel bad about that. Sometimes we cut it off at like 10, but like I don't think we've ever stopped before 10. So 4 to 5 hours of the family gaming together.
Yeah.
You
know what they say, the family that games together.
Mames together?
Yes.
Yeah. Also, even though it is called Family Game Night, it is an 18 and up stream. Mostly because my daughter swears like a fucking sailor.
yep. Matches what I know of her. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, I'm not gonna say she learned it from me, but she far exceeds.
Yeah,
where I'm at on the regular.
She swears at a collegiate level. Yeah,
she really does. It's very impressive. I'm waiting for her to get that honorary degree,
doctorate. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
So, I think that's all I have for now. I do have so much more exciting stuff coming down the line. If you're attending Convergence, I'm going to be in at least 3 different things at Convergence.
Holy shit!
Yeah. Apparently, people want me and their stuff. So,
hey, no harm
with that. So look for more information on that too. And no judgment if you decide Convergence is just not your scene this year.
That is very fair. Coming up at the end of this month, in just about a week. Saturday the 26th, starting at 10 in the morning and going until quite late in the evening, Fearless Fest is taking place. Come and see comedy.
What shows are going to be performing?
So many. Jesus Christ. Yeah, they've packed a lot into.
I mean, I think I saw things like for hours, Double Blind, Fearless Lab, some of the regular monthly shows.
Usual Suspects going to be there. They're also doing some of the musical shows that people are fucking in love with.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
That haven't been back for a little bit due to the Panini.
Right.
Yeah. So
did I see that Tom ST is involved with some Eldritch Horror thing happening?
I believe that's the case.
Dave Rand McKay, something like that. Like I saw I think I got an invite for it even. Like and it was there were tentacles and it was crazy. So well, I'm like, well, that stuck out. Good job, promo shot.
The authoritative source will be the schedule that is available on fearlessfest.org as that gets filled out. Okay. Keep track of the news and everything you need to know about the venue, the timing, the everything by going to fearlessfest.org.
.org.
Nice. Also coming up at the end of the month, the last Friday of the month is a vilification tennis show, and it is in fact one of the best vilification tennis shows very regularly that we have absolutely every single year. The vilification tennis amateur show.
Oh, I've heard of that. Yes, Josh.
In show.
Yeah, Josh, I don't know if you've heard of this amateur show thing that vilification tennis does. Oh, God. Well,
that's so fucked up. I'm sorry.
I do would like to inform you about that. Keep in mind, I did propose to my wife as somebody who did not make it into vilification.
I think I remember that.
Yeah.
I feel like I may have been involved with that, actually. Hmm. Yeah.
So it only makes sense that I played the part out.
Yes. That's very fair.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, this is the way that people get inducted into the show. It is, in fact, the most heartless and cruel way to audition people for a show, and that is by making them perform it for the first time live for like 90 to 120 minutes in front of a packed fucking house. Tickets are already on sale, so there are probably already very few left. In order to be in the audience, you must bring proof of vaccination or a recent, and you can go to Bryant Lake Bowl for more information.
For how recent.
How recent. But I believe it is within 72 hours, you must have a negative result from an authoritative test. So those are the rules. I strongly recommend it. It's always a fucking blast and a catastrophe and just hazing in the most
brutal
frat movie kind of way. Jesus Christ. This year's theme is Best in Show. It is going to be a dog show with the amateur vilifiers.
I mean, of course I went to calling people bitch right away.
Yeah. See, I'm just waiting for them to pick the tail up and
They're going to lift the amateur up by the chest and balls.
Corgi buttholes and
lots of corgi buttholes. Yeah.
So many corgi buttholes.
So there's that.
All right.
Please go and see it. Vilification Tennis is back on stage and worth seeing. And we are stupendously pleased to provide this show. So there is that. Those are the two things that I have to plug.
That's what you have for plugging?
Yep, for the moment.
Well, in that case, does anybody have anything else they need to say?
Yes. Bye, bye. I love you. Bye, bye, bye.
All right. So on behalf of myself and James, we would like to thank Josh, our very special guest, for coming in, popping in and having some chit chat time with us.
Hell yeah.
I would like to thank me personally for the Fast Five. don't forget we got that form. James may or may not thank me, but I thank me. I put good. In the effort and I deserve
you.
That. Okay. Appreciate. On behalf of everybody in this podcast, have a lovely week and eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.